as your bodies and souls are here, and my body and soul is here, so his body and soul are there, united with his divinity in the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, it's an act of faith. Our senses say that's just bread and wine, but faith tells us it's the very body and blood, the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I said, this thought of adoration is on my mind, and I would like to weave it into this evening's sermon. But a question that could be asked, why does the church put this gospel of the Transfiguration during Lent? Why do we read this in Lent? Well, one of the reasons we see at the end of the gospel today, tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So Peter, James, and John were sworn to secrecy, so to speak, by our Lord. You may not talk about it. And I would just imagine they had that human reaction. Well, why not? We just saw this most wonderful thing. You were transfigured before our eyes. It was so glorious, so magnificent. It was so wonderful. St. Peter says, Lord, let's build three shrines here, three churches. And when you hear three tents, we mean, of course, not the idea of a camp tent or anything like that. Remember, in the 40 years of wandering in the desert, their church was a big tent called the Tabernacle. And they couldn't build temples here on Mount Tabor because only one temple was allowed, and that was on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. But it was such a glorious event. It was almost like they could peep through the keyhole into heaven itself, or even more than that. But Jesus said, don't talk about it. Now, interestingly, and this is where we see the connection with Lent, it was these three apostles were also the same ones who were asked to be with Jesus in his agony. Remember after the Last Supper? They all went to the Garden of Olives. Well, one left early from the Last Supper. Judas. He left early to make sure everything was in place for the betrayal. So Jesus and the 11 went to the Garden of Olives. And that's where his passion, his agony began. And he asked these three, the three that had seen him transfigured, come with me a little further. He left the other eight behind, these three, to go with him and to support him in his agony. They fell asleep. You would think, and of course, maybe it sounds like we're being judgmental here, but I think the apostles, those three apostles with themselves said, go ahead and tell it like it was. You would think that after seeing our Lord transfigured, that they would be adoring with him when he was so frightened of his upcoming sufferings that he would be sweating blood. And in his human condition, he wanted the support of these three very close apostles. They were called to adoration both times. They were called to adore when he was in his magnificence. They were called to adore him when he was in his agony. They failed that test. And I say this with no pride. None of us would say it with any pride. We know we would have succumbed very likely to that inclination of sleep. And Jesus asked them three times, could you not watch 1 hour with me? And the third time, take your rest. I am sure that Peter, James, and John were very humbled by this for the rest of their lives. And they understood after the resurrection of Jesus why he had told them, don't talk about it now. You see, the lesson here is we can't just follow Jesus in the good and easy times. We have to follow him and be with him in the hard times. That was a real challenge of faith in the Garden of Olives, to be with our Lord then. But again, they were called to adoration both times. But it was harder to adore him when he was not surrounded with his glory, when his humanness. And remember, Jesus is one person with two natures, God and man. To adore Jesus when that great feeling isn't there, that's what they were called to do. But they were so faithful. They became such great saints, didn't they? Even though they failed our Lord in his passion. St. Peter later on that night would even deny he even knew our Lord. And all 11 of them ran away. But Jesus loved them, and he knew what greatness they were capable of. He built his church on these apostles, especially on Peter. So Jesus did not give up on his apostles, and they all died as martyrs. Well, St. John didn't actually die, but because he was saved by a miracle when he was thrown into the boiling oil at a very advanced age. I think he was close to 100 years old when he was thrown into the boiling oil, and he was willing to suffer that for our Lord. One other reason that we can point to why we have this gospel in the season of Lent is Moses and Elias. Why those two individuals? Moses, we know he was such a great leader of the chosen people. He led them out of Egypt. They had to go through tremendous stress and difficulty, and had to lead them through the wanderings in the desert. And despite the great unfaithfulness of the chosen people, Moses kept praying and interceding for them. And we understand, we know for a fact from the Old Testament that these two, Moses and Elias, also fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, no food, like our Lord. And so we are in this season of penance right now. Obviously, we couldn't do that, go without all food for 40 days and 40 nights. But certainly we have to make the best of this Holy Lenten season and do the fasting that we can do, the penance that we can do, the extra prayer, and of course, almsgiving as well. So I hope this helps with your understanding of why we have this gospel in the second on the second Sunday of Lent, why we have it during this Holy Lenten season. And when we realize the graces that we get from the time we spend with our Lord in prayer, in adoration, we too say with St. Peter, Lord, it is good for us to be here. As I said earlier, this is such a special time to strengthen that connection with our Lord. And the more time we spend with him, we get to know him better. We drink in more of the graces that are there for us to have. And it's also very important to bring children to adoration. When I look back on my life, my early life, and I realize how many holy hours and masses I was brought to by my parents, I realize that was a big part of my becoming a priest and religious. And here's the thing, when you think of young people, and of course March is the month of vocation, so it's good to reflect upon this. When a young man or a young woman is called to the religious life, or in the case of a young man to become a priest, they are called to fall in love with our Lord. They're going to give their whole life to him. And by spending time in his presence, they are able to more fall in love with our Lord and with the things that pertain to our Lord, holy things, his church, the salvation of souls. So I encourage you, as parents, bring your children to the feet of our Lord. Spend the time that you can in adoration. And let us be faithful in our adoration. Sometimes we'll have consolation. Sometimes it will feel good. It'll be easy even to come to pray like the apostles were at the Transfiguration. But sometimes it's so hard and we're so dry. We're in times of tribulation and difficulty. We're like the apostles in the Garden of Olives. Let us adore faithfully even then. And whether it's easy or whether it's difficult and we feel dry, remember, we can always say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.